Chapter 25. Shaping the Chartering Message, Setting the Tone for the Future. The right words and the right tone could make all the difference in chartering success in the policy world. May 1992. The opportunity to introduce chartering to a supportive and influential audience came quickly. The Democratic Leadership Council, DLC, invited me to speak about chartering as part of a panel at the Democratic Leadership Conference in New Orleans on May 1, 1992. Here was the moment to shape the chartering message for opinion makers and lawmakers across the country. Attendees included members of Congress and state and local officials from around the nation, all sharing a commitment to problem-solving and seeking a third way to the most vexing issues of our day. My speech would hopefully preempt the national conversation and frame the chartering message at the outset. If we supporters didn't frame the issue, others would no doubt frame it for us. But chartering is not the easiest concept to talk about. It's complicated. If not framed in terms of values or benefits, eyes glaze over after the first minute or so. The panel featured several policymakers who had been involved with reinventing government at the local and state levels. The moderator was David Osborne, author of 1988's Laboratories of Democracy, and most recently at the time, co-author of 1992's Reinventing Government, How the Entrepreneurial Spirit is Transforming the Public Sector. A journalist, Osborne also served as advisor to two governors and to presidential candidate Bill Clinton. Frankly, I found his influence rather daunting. In Reinventing Government, Osborne and co-author Ted Gabler held up Minnesota's open enrollment and chartering initiatives as examples of the restructuring we needed within the public education system. Like me, they supported the creation of new public schools, including chartered schools, but rejected turning education over to the private marketplace in the form of vouchers. As nervous as I was about this invitation, I felt deeply honored to join the panel. News about the upcoming speech was already making an impact. On April 29, 1992, John Schrader wrote me, "Your trip to New Orleans couldn't be coming at a better time." Representative Dave McCurdy was interested in offering a chartering amendment in the U.S. House, but as Schrader explained, McCurdy needed encouragement from a fellow Democrat. I had only 10 minutes to introduce chartering to attendees, state and federal policymakers, the media, and the nation. How could I explain chartering and 4 years of history to this important audience in so short a speech? Every word counted. Language would be important. The wrong words or the wrong tone could hurt our chartering efforts for years to come. But the right words and the right tone could make all the difference in chartering success in the policy world. For the first time in my adult career, I sought help from a messaging coach. I can't remember how many hours we spent preparing for this 10-minute speech, but it felt like days on end. The most important and most difficult goal was finding that 30-second elevator speech that described what a chartered school is. In short, a charter school is a new kind of public school that rewards innovation, empowers teachers and parents, and meets student needs without turning our existing school system upside down. It's simple. No results, no charter. Teachers trade away regulation for results and bureaucracy for accountability. Nearly as difficult was describing what a chartered school is not. I wanted to stress they were not vouchers, and they were not a diversion of public school dollars. But the most important point for this audience to hear was this. Charter schools are not an indictment of our public school system. They are a tool for innovative entrepreneurs to do the job better in times of scarce resources and demanding social agendas. And finally, the call to action. Yes, being on the bleeding edge of change is painful, but it is critical for us as progressive Democrats to be there. Why? The public demands as much. A recent Harris poll found that education has moved to the top of the roster of political concerns in this year's election. 2/3 of the American public support public school choice. As Democrats, what are we waiting for? We must continue to respond to our changing times by reinventing public education. If we don't respond, this revolution may move beyond us, beyond our comfort level as Democrats. The message got through. The response was excellent. Most importantly, my appearance at the DLC conference was about much more than delivering that one speech. It was about creating the message and language of chartering that would serve me and hundreds of others for years to come. The U.S. Department of Education, the DLC, and newspapers around Minnesota would use much of this language in their publications. The impact of the speech was felt at the federal level as soon as May 15, 1992, when McCurdy's staff confirmed to Schrader that he would be the lead Democratic co-sponsor of a yet-to-be-determined chartering amendment in the House. But back home in Minnesota, the impact was not so much felt. Slowly, ever so slowly, supporters were just starting to make chartering a reality.